for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, October the 3rd, 1999. Final service of the Feast of Tabernacles Men's Retreat being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Duran of New Joy Fellowship of Youngtown, Arizona is the minister of the morning.
Why don't you stand with me? Let's go to the Lord of the Word and to the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I enjoy teaching about the blessings of Abraham. We're a covenant people.
Yeah.
Amen. So we claim the covenant, the blessings of Abraham. What are Abraham's blessings anyway? There are 60 blessings that God gives us in the covenant that he made with Abraham. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. One of the things that Moses did is he described the Abrahamic seed group as a chosen, holy, royal, and peculiar people. Not weird, just peculiar. Hallelujah. Some of them think we're weird. In Exodus, I want you to go with me to Exodus 19. And I want to read a couple of scriptures, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation."
Amen.
"These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Father, I bless you today and I thank you for the word of the Lord God. I ask that this two-edged sword would just penetrate the recesses of our mind. Until, Father, we arise with the anointing and understanding and the revelation of the purposes of who we are. You've called us in the book, Father, that we are people of purpose. And so, Father, we understand that we're chosen, holy, and royal, and peculiar. And so today, Father, as we come to you, I ask that you would open our ears to hear and anoint them that we might give us understanding to our minds. And we bless you for this word, Father. We stand in awe of you, and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at somebody and say, "You're peculiar." Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The four words that he uses here to describe us is so interesting because the word peculiar actually means one's own or special. So peculiar means that we are special people to the Lord. And also the word holy, as we know, means sacred. So we're a sacred people. Amen. We're not just people trying to make it. We're special and we're sacred people. Amen. We're not just somebody trying to make it somewhere. We're already in. We're called saints. Amen. Not Saint Bernards, but saints. Amen. And then he uses the word royal, kingly in nature. We are kingly in nature. That's why I tell the people I don't walk as a minority race. I walk as a majority because God is with me. Amen. I divested myself after 3 years of coming into the kingdom. I had a hard time of understanding really who I was. And until I got a hold of it, it was just like a light went up in my thinking, in my mind. And I realized, man, I'm not one of those minority groups. If God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. So I joined the clan and I became one of those peculiar, holy, royal people. Amen. And then he says we're chosen. That word chosen means that we are select, acceptable, appoint, choice, excellent, join, be rather required. What a tremendous thing God calls us here. You know, it is interesting to also understand that Peter, centuries later, used the same terminology to describe this royal group in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. I just want to take you there right now. I'm going to take time to teach this lesson. And if I know that, I praise God that somebody donated some 3-hour chairs. Amen. Isn't God good to us? In 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. You know, in everything that God calls us, in the word, he calls us to inherit, not blessings, but to inherit the blessing. You know, when we begin to believe the word, I'm teaching you, I'm going to hit again on Hebrews 11:1 and go to it in the translation of the foundation that we stand on. I want you to get a hold of this, because I'll tell you, it'll transform you. It'll cause you to walk in victory. That when the cupboards are empty, and like the writer said, there's no calf in the stall, and everything seems to have gone the wrong way, and there's no money, and there's no gas in the car, he's still on the throne. And he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Y2K or no Y2K. Amen. Come on, somebody. God is in charge. Amen. So we find that believing, actually, when we believe the Lord and he talks to us about believing, I want to just say some things about this, because it manifests four powers when we believe God. And when we understand these four powers that God gives us, we begin to walk in victory. When I begin to get into this word believe and all the teaching that is in it, it is an awesome thing. You know, the word of the Lord is like a vein of gold. The more you dig into it, the bigger it gets. And there's no end to it. So we serve an awesome God that is vast in everything, you know. And he, like I say, he doesn't have to go out of himself to get anything. It's in him already. Boom. He speaks it and it's there. So we see that the truth of these things that God is teaching us in believing, of these four things. If you'll go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul wrote to Ephesus in chapter 1 verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. There is something here in these four words as translated in the King James as follow. He talks about power, he talks about working, he talks about mighty, and then he talks about power again. And these are different words. In believing, these four powers are manifested. So we have something to hear, see here, when the Lord begins to manifest himself as we begin to believe. I told you Friday that the devil believes and trembles is because he has information. So we have information that causes us to triumph in all areas of our life. And that's why Paul could glory in everything and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And today as we look to the word of the Lord, power means strength, it means ability, it means authority, it means majesty. Mighty means is manifestations of instant power, miracle force. It means capability. So this power that gives us capability. And the working means to communicate energy or efficiency, power in action that we have, and operating power to affect active energy in a way of working that God gives us. And then we look to the word mighty in this particular scripture. It means dominion. It means the work of power, the force, the display of might, mighty deed of God, intensity, rule, and sovereignty. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Then there's a different word. Power means the extent of ability and the power of force, strength, and might. And this word deals with the validity of such power that God has given us. And it gives the idea of robust. Somebody that's robust. Now, all this power that God gives us, and we see in the Word that if we have information, that we understand that no weapon that is formed against me is going to prosper. Somebody say amen. Amen. According to Paul, these are the same powers that raised Jesus from the dead and placed him on the heavenlies. So when we begin to believe, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead begins to operate in our lives. Amen. It means that the same information that causes us to stand on, to believe what God is saying to us, gives us the same authority, the same resurrection power. That's why Paul could say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. To be conformed to that spirit of the living God. Amen. Once we understand who we are and how we're made and created in the image of God, then we'll no longer walk as just mere men and women. We're going to walk as men that know their God. That's why Paul said that I may know him. The greatest pursuit that I believe man has is to know his God. Amen. To understand his God. What does this mean when we believe this power? It means that when we believe this power's going to action for us. When I believe God, this powers are going to operate. And the definitions reveal what this power produce. Just think of it. But this power is produced when we believe God, because they give ability, they give energy, they give dominion and validity. What a tremendous action takes place when we believe God. Amen. That's why Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. If you believe, this thing shall be done unto you. Why? Because when we believe, really believe, and stand on that foundation of the information we have, then things begin to happen and God begins to produce those things that we need and those things that are helpful, whether it's healing or whatever. Amen. So what more could believing one want? It believes to the ultimate power and authority in operation. And I just want to touch on these things because we need to get a hold of this. And we need to stand. Like I say, I'm not a, you know, I like Benny Hinn have to say that I'm not walking in great faith. I haven't walked where Paul walked. I'm still moving in that area, but I intend to pursue to get to that area where I understand those things. Amen. Because God gives us insight and gives us revelation and gives us the things that we need. Believing allows these powers to explode and produce the desired results of God. They just explode and begin to produce the results that God wants us to get. So we can say that believing produces unlimited power. Amen? Say it with me. Believing produces unlimited power. Hallelujah. Amen. It's really in God's action in believing one. I want to take you back to the book of Hebrews. And I want to touch again on those scriptures that I had given you on Hebrews 11:1. And I want to touch on this so that we can get a hold of it and begin to move on. You know, we talk about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in Hebrews 11:1. And we say that we put in the word information for the word faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You need to understand that everything is from God, through God, to God. Amen. From God, through God, to God. Everything just goes boom. If God is not in it, it's not going to work. Amen. We're just vessels. We're instruments for His glory. So we know that faith, that information that is talked about, we receive from God for us to act upon, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without the Word, it's not going to happen. How do I know that it's going to happen? I have my my bookkeeper that takes care of paying the bills for the church. And, you know, it's a constant thing that she says, there's no money for the electric. I says, it'll be there. She just looks at me. And so next day I tell her the electric bill is paid. The money's here. Because I believe that if God has ordained something and called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, it is His responsibility, as we're faithful to the Word, that He's going to take care of me. I've been pastoring a church for 13 years. I never had the money that I could say I got the payment for the church by this week. But I always send the check on Friday, and it's all there, always there by Sunday. That's faith. God said He's going to take care of me. Amen. And God will do it again and again and again. Somebody say amen. Now, if you don't have that type of ability, don't send checks if you don't trust God. Don't be like me. I trust God because that's the way He's operated in my life. Amen. I've seen God one time when I first started the church. I told my wife, I says, the payment of the church is due in 2 days and I owe the rent is $4,000. My wife says, how much do you have? I said, $200. So my wife says, well, what are you going to do? I says, I'm going to see God do a miracle for me. That's what I'm going to do. What can you do? You can get all full of anxiety and concern. If you don't have the money, you just don't have it. So I told my wife, I says, the Lord, He will see to it that I get it. I says, He called me to do this work. The following day, a man drives from Los Angeles to Phoenix and stops in my house and stops by and gives me an envelope. He says, the Lord told me to give you this. I'm anxious for him to leave. Because I need to check and see what's in the envelope. So when he left, I went to my bedroom and I opened the letter, and there it was, $4,000. I went and showed my wife. I says, "What? How much we owe?" I says, $4,000. How much is this? I says, $4,000. I said, "Hey, we got $200. We can go to McDonald's." But God is faithful. I've seen God work in areas where it's impossible. I share this with you. I think I've shared it in some of my other teachings, but I think it falls into this information that God gives us. My wife said we owe the government $1,700. I said, send it in. Send the paper in. She said, but what about the money? I said, when they bill me, it'll be here. God will see to it that I get it. 3 days later, a man came by and the same thing. I'm anxious for him to leave. And again, I go to my bedroom where I usually check the mail. And I open it up and there were $1,700 bills. I said, the Lord told me to give you this. And I told my wife, I says, how much do we owe? I says, $1,700. I says, count it. She says, there's $1,700. I says, this doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to you and I. And therefore, I said, I'm going to take $400 and I'm going to give it away to the ministry. And she said, what are you going to do then, Jack, about paying for the government? I says, when they bill me, it'll be here. So what happens is when they bill me, they send back and they said, Mr. Durant, you made it an error in your addition. You only owe us $1,300. Somebody magnify Jesus with me. And so God will do it again and again and again. I've seen it working in our building. I started the building, the Lord just provided the finances. And I told the church that when I wasn't going into debt for the new building that I was putting up, that I would have it done and it's paid for and it's paid for. And I just stand on that word because the banks don't lend to churches. And so I did the same thing and standing in the information that God had given me. Sometimes the word comes through the word, written word. Sometimes just God gives us in your spirit. And God says, I don't want you to put this people into debt. I will take care of you. And so I stood on the word. I says, the Lord will pay the debt for us and we won't have to do this thing. I did deliverance on a man. Somebody called me to do deliverance on a man. And I went and did deliverance and I didn't know he had money. And so when I was leaving, he said, I want to talk to you. He said, I have a lot of money. Pray for me. I said, I might help you. I said, I don't have to pray for you. It's in your hands. He says, I might give you $150,000. Hallelujah. So he called me later. He said, I'm only going to give you $50,000. I said, that's fine. So I ordered the building because I already had the foundation. I kept looking at this foundation, this huge foundation, over 8,400 square feet of foundation out there. I kept looking at it. I said, God, I need a building on this thing. So when I got the building, the money, I went and ordered the building. And I'll tell you, God is so good. And they told me, like I said, I've shared with you that God said, he was going to meet the need in 3 weeks. After the building's up, I have to have another $38,000, which I didn't have. And I told the man in 3 weeks, I got $42,000. A man says, the Lord woke me up all night, told me to give you $42,000. I said, can you give it to me by Friday? He said, no, a week from this Friday, which was 3 weeks that I had spoken to the man. So in the third week, I went and gave him his $38,000. And God is good. And that building, I dedicated it a month ago, and it's all paid for. And I believe that God, when God calls us, we ought to not be walking in fear of. I don't like the people to get up and say, you got to give because we got to pay the electric. Oh, shut up. Lord, help us. We got to pay the phone. If the electric can be paid, we'll go to candles, whatever. But don't get up there and put the people on this heavy this is the way we are. If we're going to trust God, if we're going to be crying out because of these things, then we better not be pastoring. That's how I think. Amen. But God, I know you people know that you ought to give. Amen. I already know I ought to give. And nobody has to tell me. When they pass the offering, boom. Tithing teaching doesn't offend me. why? Because I believe in it. So it doesn't offend me. It doesn't move me. You get people that come to the church on Christmas and Resurrection Sunday. And then, there they go again with their money. They come twice a year, And I believe that if we're going to trust God, we have this information. Because I'm going to give it to you again in this translation. Now the information that we receive from God, that we are to act upon, stands under as a foundation, the things we hope for. And this foundation becomes our evidence of the things we cannot see with our physical eye yet. And when we have this information that God says He's going to take care of me, the prophets have said to me, the Lord, He will take care of you. That's why the Lord says He's going to heal me. And I'm going to teach you this morning of how we have to stand on this word so that we'd be able to fight the good fight of faith. There's a fight sometimes that you have to stand for this information that is given to you. Because whether you want to or not, there's an enemy always trying to steal from you or take away from you. He not only came to kill, to steal, and destroy, he don't only take your life, man. He'll take your dreams. He takes your visions. He wants to take your children, your finances, everything that belongs to you. And sometimes you have to say, look, Turkey, I've had enough. And you're not going to take it. And you're going to bring it back sevenfold. Somebody magnify Jesus with me. So we see that the blessings that God has promised us. Some of you have been prophesied things, and you wonder if they'd ever take place. If the prophets, the Bible says if you believe the prophets, it'll come. You know, everybody wants instant stuff, you know, like just happen right now. You know, it doesn't happen sometimes that way. I'm doing some of the things that I was prophesied on, even dedicated as a child. I'm just doing those things that God has said I would do. And the prophets had said, this is what you're going to do, and this is what God's going to do. And I just said, I'm going to believe the prophets. So when somebody comes with a bad report, the prophet already prophesied to me. And God gave me advance notice that God's going to take care of me. So when somebody bad mouths me and said, he's not going to grow, he's not going to build, he's not going to do the things, I said, that don't move me. The prophet already told me what God's going to do. So I already have information that causes me to triumph and go ahead on the things of the kingdom of God. So that I'm not wondering if I'm going to make it. You know, it's like, you know, people, you know, they say, well, I said, I don't know about you. I said, I don't want you to know about me. Because then you get discouraged. But when we understand the principles of the kingdom of God, that he gives us information, that's like our healing. Sometimes, you know, you pray for you and healings is not there. You got to fight for it sometimes. Say, you're not going to take this from me. You know, yesterday I was hurting like, I hadn't hurt like that in a long time. My back seemed to be out and everything. And after the praise and worship and after the anointing and after everything, I went home and I think I could run. You know, I haven't had any pain. And those things happen, but I don't give in to the pain. You understand? God, you said. When they were going to take my building away, they wanted to take my building and kick me out. I went and did warfare. I went to the church and cried out all night. Not only to God, but I rebuked the devourer. And I told God, you sent me here, you're going to do it, and I expect you to do it. And now I said, devil, now you listen to me. You're not going to take what God has given me. And the war was intense in the city. But God began to deal with me, began to bring us into the place of anointing and blessing.
Tony wants you to read 1 Corinthians 14:22.
He does.
Yes, he does.
After I get done. Okay? After I get done with my message. I'll read it, Tony. Because it deals with tongues. And the tongues is not for the believer. It's for the unbeliever. Service not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Amen. There it is. But I want to share something with you. That one of the blessings that God promised the seed group was, God promised the physical descendants of Abraham was land. And when God begins to promise to us the word that God gives us, then we need to understand that the blessings of Abraham are tremendous. Amen? And so we have a covenant with God that God has already promised us to us. And I remind you again when the woman that was, I think it was mentioned again last night, of the woman that was sick and was bowed down for 18 years, that God came and healed her, and he said, or not she ought to be healed, being that she's the daughter of Abraham. And that word ought, again, I remind you, means out of necessity, I must heal her because she's a covenant woman. And so God has, if we're covenant people and we belong to the Abraham seed, then we must understand that God has given us the word that he's already healed us and he's going to do it. And we, if we are covenant people, then that word has to operate within us. Amen. And we need to stand on the information because he says, I take away your diseases. I do all these things for you. How many of you really believe that God's taking care of you? How many of you believe that it doesn't matter how it looks? God has promised that he's going to see you through. That the word is already established and that God is not a God that he should lie. Amen. And so he gives us the word, a covenant word spoken to us that we're more than conquerors in this life. And God is not going to lie to us. If he already said it, then I remind God sometimes. He don't need to be reminded, but I remind him anyway. You said you'd do it. And I've learned to stand on that word that God says he's going to do it. You know what's happened by standing and believing God? He has increased the faith of those that hear the word and say, man, we're learning how to stand and how to see the working of God in our lives. Why? Because we have information, and God gives us advanced information. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So one of the blessings was the promised land, and I want you to go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 2, when they came to the edge of the land that God had promised them to occupy, they found that the devil had already placed his people upon it, and they were occupying the land, or the blessing of God had given his people. And what information did they have? What faith did they have for them to act upon or believe? Did God give them then to deal with this problem? God gave them information as to how to deal with this problem in this book, in the second chapter, how to deal with the people. And so one of the things that we see here is he gave them the information on how to get the devil's gang out of the property. And God gives us information how to kick the devil out of our lives and those things in our children and everything. Let me tell you something. I'm not moved for my children have done things wrong, and I'm not moved by that. You know, I still go after them, correct them, but I'm not saying, oh, they're going to go to hell, you know. They're not going to go to hell. They're going to worship the Lord. God says their inheritance, they have an inheritance. They have a covenant with me. And they have the blessing of Abraham. So as we look to this chapter of Scripture, we shall find many similarities of warfare. Therefore, lessons that apply today as Christians or present-day Abrahamic seed group. And we'll see in this particular chapter that there are similarities of warfare, different weapons. So the scenario here will be different, but the principle of battle remains the same. Amen? We're still in a war. Somebody say, we're still in a war. So the battle must still be joined with them. Amen? We're still fighting this war, and we need to understand this thing so that when the enemy attempts to encroach upon and take away the promised blessings that God has given us, we need, whether it's healing, prosperity, and well-being according to the covenant of our family members, we must learn how to fight with force just as they did in this particular chapter. I want to take you just before we go to Deuteronomy 2. I want to read to you out of Deuteronomy 1. I want to read to you verse 29. And then it says, then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that you went until you came into this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place, pitch your tents, a fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in the cloud by day. Now, God to the Israelites was teaching them how to find the best camping spots. He was giving them a light by night, cloud by day. He was saying, I'm taking you to the best places to go camping, and you still don't want to obey me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So they began to possess what God promised them. They encountered first the devil's gang that was there, and that planet that trying to take their blessing and trying to prevent them from having it. So the first enemy that they encountered there of the devil's gang was named Sihon, who was the king of Heshbon. Amen? He could just well be named AIDS or cancer or heart attack or diabetes or whatever, you know. So maybe you have a Sihon today where God says he's already given you weapons of warfare to defeat him in your life. Amen? I have weapons. I have information to defeat every circumstance in my life. Every sickness, every disease, I have information. And the signs that have come to me sometimes have been mighty. So in Deuteronomy 2:24, it says, Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. Now, this is very interesting because God began to give them their information, their faith that they needed to act upon. And it says here in 24, there are three things that are obvious in this particular verse of 24, because it says, I have given unto the hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land, began to possess it and contend with him in battle. And one of the things we need to see here is three things that are obvious in this verse. Number one, they're taking possession, according to the word of God, of what God had promised them, required a beginning point, as their information from God expressly stated for them to begin to possess it. They have to start somewhere to begin to possess that land. And God says, go ahead. I've given you this king. And the second thing, that they're taking possession of what God had actually given them, promised them, required a process, because contend with him in battle involves time. And sometimes it takes time to just go over it and take. It's like, who was reading last night? Brother was reading how Moses had prayed, or who had prayed for 40 days. You know, there's the battle and there's the contending that we need to do. The third thing is the outcome is guaranteed for them in the advance. For God said, I have given unto thy hand Sihon and his land. But in order to possess this land that God had given him, one of the things that they must make the beginning point and engage in the process of battle. We're in a warfare. Amen? And sometimes, you know, we get discouraged because, oh, somebody prayed, didn't happen, and all this. I believe it happened. And then only then can you actually assume possession of the promised blessing. When you contend, remember this word contend is contend with the contender that's fighting. So God says, contend with him. Now, God had already promised them something. He says, now you're going to have to contend with Sihon and his king, and you're going to take the land. But I had already given it to you. God gave him advanced information. So God gives us advanced information for us to conquer. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because you see, Satan is going to do his very best. He's good at what he does. Amen? And you must understand this, because to take every one of these blessings away from you, Satan is going to do his very best to keep you from receiving the blessings of God. And he's going to contend against you. You've got to contend against him. You must learn that you maintain the blessing the same way that they did in this particular verse. And sometimes it's not just easy. It's a war. Amen? It's a standing. It's rebuking. When I went into the city that I'm in, the town, they wanted me out of the city. For 2.5 years, they gave me war. Literally gave me a hell. And I had to contend. I had frogs. Put dead frogs put in front of my church, swastikas written all over the place. Live snakes appearing after deliverance in the sanctuary, in the foyer, all these kind of things. You know what those things do to me? I use them as stepping stones, brother, to go forth. I said, man, I like it. I like to defeat the enemy. A sister the other day says, Jack, it seems like the devil has thrown about everything he can at you, and you're still going on. I said, I have to. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal.
Amen.
See, a lot of these people that come against me in the physical, I could whip him. And sometimes I say, God, give me 5 minutes off. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know. But you still got a war against the spiritual. Amen. You know, it's like some people, you want to say, I love you, I hate, man. No. And it seems like a lot of times in this contending, you know, as we war against these things. And the enemy, I'll tell you, when you're in deliverance ministries, as your brothers know, he'll send every demon to try to discourage you. And once you kick one out, he'll send two or three. And they sat there in the church to mock you. The Lucifer spirits. They come to exalt themselves and try to take over the place and try to tell you how to run it and tell you how to do it. And, you know, there's Lucifer spirits. Amen. A Lucifer spirit always says, I'd do it better than the pastor. If I was pastor, pretty soon the Lucifer spirit sits in the church and they have more influence a lot of times than the pastor himself. And before you know it, they split the church and you can't have two heads. Becomes a monster. Amen. Amen. So you have to take a stand against the enemy. And one of the things that we see when you fight against this area, I've seen it, like I mentioned the other day, I've seen it in crusades where there's a battle and there's, you know, people come with expectations. And sometimes people come to this place with expectations and they go away feeling like, you know, it didn't happen. It's like the anointing just went over me. It seems like it just passed me by. Amen. And I've seen people in crusades, brother, where they prayed for them and they bring from miles, from states, and they fly in and stuff and they go back the same way. And what happens is this people that go away and don't get their healing, that I have to call it the Passover group. You know, the Passover group. One thing the Passover group does a lot of times when we don't feel that thing that's happening, and we, you know, I've had headaches where I was sick, and I'm praying in the service, and I'm saying, God, here you send me to a healing service, and I feel sick, and I'm hurting right now, and people are getting healed all over the place, and I'm so, oh God, I just want to go home and go to bed, you know. And God is using you up there, and people are getting healed, and they're being slain, and they're being delivered. And, you know, I believe you're going to be slain. You better get up of there and be different. Amen? And I've seen it, and then it's amazing. Sometimes there's been tremendous anointing, and the services, God is moving so tremendously, and you walk out, and boom, it's like somebody hit you with a 2x4. And the enemy just got you. Boom. They're looking for him. I was anointed. Come on, somebody. Get real. Amen. And so one of the mistakes that this Passover group does a lot of times, I want to give you some information, was they concluded that since they were not instantly, miraculously healed, it must not be God's will for them to be healed. See, they feel like, well, maybe God don't want to heal them. Maybe it's not God's will. And so the second mistake they make is thinking that God only heals people with an instant miracle. And so they feel, well, if God doesn't heal me now, he ain't going to heal me. Amen? So, but both conclusions are false. Because we already have information. Amen? First, they were false because it most definitely God's will to heal all Christians. How many of you believe that? Amen. I believe it's God's will to heal me. I don't care how my back was hurting last night. I still believe it was God's will to heal me. Amen. Come on. And he did. And I contended against that thing. But I knew God was going to do it. And I fought against it. And the second thing, they are false because the anointing is not the only way God heals his dear children. It's not just in the presence of that, boom. Sometimes God does use different methods. He's still the healer. I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to leave me. Oh, God, there goes my theology. It's like a brother. You all know Brother Ed Smith from Channel 40 in Los Angeles, the black brother? He's in where Paul Crouch, he's a minister of the... He came over to see me one. He's doing a ministry for the man at our church, and he came over, and I don't know how he must have been the Lord. He just got into this ministry of not believing that Christians can have demons and all this thing. I said, oh boy, praise God. Within 5 minutes, he was so convinced. He says, you've ruined. You've thrown my theology out the door. I said, I've been preaching for years, and in 5 minutes, you just changed my thinking. I said, brother, that's the way it is. Come on. Sometimes it only takes that nugget of God to, boom, it lights up our thinking. I said, whoa. I've done some preachings in my younger days that I've heard him later, and I said, man, God, don't let nobody get a hold of this thing. Stepped on it. You know, sometimes, you know, when you begin to walk with the Lord, man, like I say, you feel you're so anointed, and you don't realize you're the anointing of God. Amen? and it just, Lord help us. But, you know, that's why I say to some of you even today that are wanting to prophesy, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid. That's not going to punish you and whip you. The pastor might.
But one of the things that happens in this thing is he also heals them when they make a beginning point and begin to contend for that thing. Don't give up. We're not giving up. We're going up. Amen. Say with me, we're not giving up. We're going up. Amen. I'm not talking about rapture stuff, so don't come and preach to me because I already know that, doctor. Don't get too calm. Oh, somebody. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering today. Are you getting anything out of this? Is God, are you receiving something into your spirit that's going to help you? And then so, one of the things that happens here is that when we join and dislodge the usurper that comes against us, and we join and force and press against him, you know, contend against him, resist him. When you resist the devil, you're not just going to say, huh? Yeah. You're not going to walk around with a broken wrist, you know, like a certified dude, you know? You're gonna resist it. So you ain't gonna do this to me. I'm fed up with it. I'm taking over here. I kick you out. So you're going to dislodge the usurper. It's just the one who stands and fights his way is a healed and begins to get his healing just like the one that was in the anointing. I believe that with all my heart because I've seen it. Amen. It's like people that come and believe that receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues and bring to the world, maybe God don't want it. And when I was speaking after the Holy Spirit, the pastor, I saw the glory, the Shekinah glory. I saw the thing that the pastor, I want to speak in tongues. I want to dwell with the Spirit. And you know what what frustrated people more than anything, Brother David? Is that I was laying hands on people and you during the hippie movement, and I didn't speak in tongues, and I would say, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come, and God will do it. And they would come, and I'd get frustrated. Because God was filling with the Holy Spirit. And one of the ladies says, I'm going to take you to the pastor. I said, for what? He says, because you're getting people filled with the Holy Spirit, and you don't even speak in tongues. He says, well, go talk to God. Lord, help us, you know. And so she was upset, I tell you. I says, hey, it's not me filling him, it's God. And then this brother, when it says, Jack, go your way. The Lord will fill you. I don't know if it's going to be in the shower, in the car, or whatever. But you will speak in tongues because you desire it. And it happened in my car. And for 2 weeks, I spoke in tongues. And I want nobody to know because, you know, you think, oh, it's just me trying to be spiritual. At that time, I was dealing with a bunch of the youth in the hippie movement, you know, and I used to get about 150 youth in my backyard, baptize them in my pool, and I just had a good time in December. You didn't know if they were freezing or speaking in tongues, you know. God help us. You know, come out of there blue. And one of the things that happened is that I have this youth. I said, you know, I've been praying for something. Lay hands. And a lot of this youth were already speaking in tongues. You know, the Lord was filling it. I said, I need you to pray for me. I just want you to lay hands. And they came in. All the youth, they loved me. They lay hands on me. And they started speaking in tongues before me. I was teaching them. And they lay hands on me. I started speaking in tongues. I haven't stopped. I'm a tongue talking. I know three languages. Spanish, English, and tongues. Hallelujah. And so we see here that we don't give up the fight. Don't give up the good fight of faith. You need to stand and believe God at all costs, that God has given you information. Just because you get sick and it seems like it doesn't happen, you still begin to fight against that thing. Don't give up. I believe that one of the things that happens even in Christianity, that many people die of cancer because they give up. Amen. You take prayer and you begin to take the right food and you begin to war against the thing. I'm not ready to die. I'm not. I got work to do. You know? Let me tell you something. I am not going to die till God is ready to take me. Can somebody agree? No. Say it with me. I'm not going to die till God is ready to take me. Amen. Sometimes the devil takes people out of place. And we need to contend against that thing. No, you're not going to take me. God gave me life and He's the only one that can take it. But the devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I have information that God says, your days are counted, they're in my hand. Amen. No devil's going to come and kill me. They've tried. I mean, they have tried. Amen. Get in the battle like they did in Deuteronomy 2. And the victory is already yours. Amen. Look at verse 25 of Deuteronomy. I'm almost done. He says in verse 25, look at this. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble to be in anguish before thee. Wow. I'm going to tell you, folks, I expect the devil to tremble when I get up. I tell you, when I start doing deliverance stuff, I have taken a young boy up to the mountains, taking youth up to the mountains, and we're up in the forest. And this young man was disruptive to the core. I tell you, he frustrated me. And I took him outside, you know, out in the trees and stuff, out in the forest, on the mountains. And it was just God and me, the devil and him. God. And I'll tell you, what a war, man. And so this young boy starts speaking in this real rough voice. Because I told him, I said, Scott, there was a young man's name. I said, you don't know the power of Satan. And his voice just changed. I look like Popeye. I got muscle bumps all over me. Goosebumps. And he says, in his rough voice, he says, "I know the power of the devil." I said, "Say what?" He says, "I'm a warlord." I said, "Whoa." And I tell you, man, I just stood up and said, he says, "I know the power of the devil." He says, "Why doesn't, you know," he said to me, "why doesn't your God heal my mother?" I says, "Because you're always beating her up, that's why." That's because you're full of demons. So he knelt down, brother. He knelt down on the ground. And I said, "Oh, praise God, you know." And I'm going to lay hands on him. He says, "Okay, I'll serve your God." And he bowed down. And arm from his knee, he sprung up and got me from the neck. Oh, God. Thank God. I think at that time I still weighed 200 and some pounds. And I just went like that. And I said, "Whoa." And so I said, "I better get over with this kid and take him somewhere where I can keep my eye on him, you know." And I went and stood on a wall about 4 feet. And I'm over here, he's down there. I said, "Man, if I have to, I'll kick his head in, you know, whatever it takes." And he knelt down. And I'm 6'2". And he knelt down. He said, "Okay, I'm going to serve your God." So I said, "Praise the Lord, I'm watching you." And on his knees, a demonic spirit make him spring up and get me from the throat up here again. Goodness gracious. I said, "Devil, they're not going to make me run. I'm going to cast this thing out of this spirit." I was intense. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord won. And I let him know. I said, "Devil, I don't care how strong you think you are. God is with me." And my flesh, you know, wars within and fears within. What is it? Wars without and fears within, man. I said, "God, you're going to have to deliver me from this thing." And God did. And sometimes you just have to war. No matter how you feel, you have to war. Sometimes in sicknesses, no matter how weak, how painful, you have to war. "You're not going to take me. You're not going to take me out this way. I'm not going out this way." Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on, somebody. He says the dread, the fear, and the trembling and anguish that was going to be put in them. See, we know that the Israelites were smaller in number than all the nations, and he didn't choose them because they were so great. Amen? But they were smaller in number than the people that occupied the land. And in the natural, if we could look at things in the natural, they should have been afraid of the usurpers because, I mean, these people were giants. They were big people, you know. And I believe that the battle was to be in the power of the supernatural. God was only going to have it in the power. You know, that's why, you know, when he got Gideon and all these other guys, and he said, "I'm going to do it for you." You know, God wants glory in your life. Amen. He wants to do it for you. And you need to respond back to God. God will do it, folks. I'm going to tell you, God will do it for you. Amen. Come on, somebody. So they should have been, but the battle was to be in the supernatural. Consequently, God made their enemies afraid of them. The dread, the fear. I mean, the enemy's going to be afraid of him. Amen. You know, I did a teaching on David and Goliath and stuff, and you know, he talked about the valleys and the walls and everything that you, if you study those words and the meanings of the names, it's an awesome thing. Because those walls, says God was surrounding them, blocking them off, and God had a witness. The valley where they were, and says God is there. So David couldn't lose. God was there in all areas around him, blocking it off, and God was in the valley. It was the valley of God. It wasn't the valley of the devil. Somebody say, "The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof." Hallelujah. You see, that's why we need to understand the same power, the same principle that applies to us today. Satan and his demons are 10,000 times more afraid of you than you are of them. If you understand who you are in God, amen, the devil believes and trembles. I mean, you ought to tremble because if you know who you are in God, the devil will already know. I think every demon knows my name. Amen. And I believe every believer ought to know who he is in Christ. The power that is within us is the power of God himself. Amen. He didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost just out of my son that I'm a curia. He filled you so you could have power and anointing and walk in that power. Amen? And understand the anointing of God that flows through you. Amen? Woo, somebody. Can shouldn't the enemy be afraid of them? Why shouldn't they dread the Israelites? And why shouldn't they be fearful and afraid of them? Jesus has already stripped them of power over you. I'm telling you. He said, brother, I'm going to teach you. Look at Colossians. See, I have information. I have information. Without information, I'm going to win nothing. I don't tremble when things go, seem to be empty and seem to go the other way. And, you know, my children messed up. I said, huh? I'm going to get them on track. Devil, you're not going to. Constantly doing warfare over my children. Amen? They'll serve the Lord. In Colossians 2:15, he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Come on, somebody. That's good information. He said, I'm going to beat you to it. I'm going to whip you. And he did. Go with me to 2 Corinthians with me. There's a lot of other verses that we can take, but I looked at this up and I said, whoa, Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to what? In who? In Christ. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by our presence in every place. In other words, he says there's a tasting, there's an aroma, there's a presence of God in every place that I walk in. Amen. I'm going to read it to you again. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now if I have this information, he causes me to triumph in all things. I'm not just preaching to you just a good story. I'm preaching to you live, rhema word that quickens, that it brings power, it brings anointing, it brings blessing, it conquers, it pulls down strongholds. Come on, somebody. So since he has given you the power and authority over all the demons, combined with the right to use his name against them, they have to do what you tell them to do. You see, you have the power over them and their work. That's what Paul said, no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. Amen. Let me tell you something. Some of you need deliverance. You know why you're not delivered? Because you keep making your problem bigger than God. God says, I'm bigger than anything. That's why I always tell you, magnify the Lord. You know, when you magnify something, you make it big. Amen. That's what the facts make it. They magnify. And I make the Lord bigger than any situation. Magnify the Lord. The Lord, but some people don't make him bigger. He is bigger, but some people just don't make him bigger. They walk around as soldiers that they think they'll never amount to anything and never do anything. Amen. So that's why we need to magnify the Lord. In your mind, he's bigger than this thing. God will see me through. The Lord will deliver me. The Lord will turn it around. The Lord will bless me. The Lord will heal me. The Lord will show himself strong on my behalf. The Lord, he will do it again and again. Amen. Somebody praise him with me. All the demons combined with his giving you authority to use the name. You see, they're afraid. Let me tell you something about the demonic forces. You're afraid of them just as Sihon and Og were afraid of the Israelites. They're afraid of you if you walk in that authority. Otherwise, let me tell you what defeats it. One of the things that God puts the fear of dread of you upon Satan and his cohorts now. It's so important because the only reason that you have to be afraid of the forces of evil is because you're ignorant of truth. That's why if you don't know truth, you know, that's why God teaches us in the Word, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not for us to bicker on doctrine. You know, I know doctrine. I don't have to argue with you. All I know is that this word is working for me because I'm standing and saying I have information and becomes a foundation of my victory in life. He says, in all areas of your life, I'm going to cause you to triumph. Come on, somebody. Amen. So that's what we need to understand, what your rights and what my rights are, what has been promised to you by God and himself, and how to contend in battle for the promises of God and the blessing that God has for you. I know some of you are struggling physically. You got to fight against this thing. That's why Satan laughs at us, because of our ignorance at times. And as long as we remain ignorant, he will keep us sick and poverty-stricken and our families in shambles. I'm going to tell you something. You know, my son the other day, he said, Dad, I want to buy a car. I said, son, I don't have any money. I said, I know. But you always find a way. I said, okay. Trying to teach him to tithe, you know, so I'm telling you. I said, son, you need to tithe to the Lord. Why should I? I said, what do you mean, why should you? He said, I'm getting blessed with everything you do. I said, but they know, they do tithe. I said, you give me some money here. I make them tithe. Amen. They're going to learn to give to the Lord. Amen. One of these days, it's going to click on them. So, boom. So, be confident of this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in you to perfect it till the day of Christ. God will put the fear and dread of you upon your enemy and his hordes and make them tremble. I'm going to tell you something. I don't walk in it. I tell you, folks, when I got a hold of truth, man, I never again walked in that area of fear. Never again walked in that area of fear. I don't, like I tell you, I don't walk as a race people. I walk as a kingdom people. I walk as a son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Those things don't touch me. There's too much religion out there to hinder me. Yeah. Amen. I ministered to this black brother from the Church of God that came and prophesied to me when they wanted to take my building away from me. I don't know if some of you know. It was devastating because I had asked my assistant pastor to leave if he wasn't going to flow with what God was doing. I said, if you're not going to flow with me, brother, I said, you need to leave. I said, God sent me here. He had prophesied to that city for a whole year, a year and a half, at night, at midnight, the Lord would wake me up and I'd go prophesy to the city I'm in. And I go to every home, the Lord will be here. The anointing of the Lord shall come to the city and the power of God shall be known. And when I was there, the people arose and began to give me hassles, especially when you just bought a mortuary, you know. And you know what happened? When he left, I was tormented. You know, even say, man, they're not going to flow, then let him go. But I was tormented because here I'm just bought a building. I'm trying to do it. And God sent a black brother. Let me just share this with you for some of you that don't know. Some of you have heard it. But I went to Sun City, which is adjacent to where my church is. And there was two black brothers in Sun City, elderly men. And I walked by them and I said, how are you guys doing? The one was asleep. He said, it's a beautiful day in the Lord. I said, yes. So when I was getting ready to leave, after I came out, I was getting to get in my truck, I went and talked to them, and they prophesied to me. I went and woke him up, introduced myself. I said, are you brothers in God? I said, in the Lord? He said, yeah. So I'm evangelist, he's my pastor, and also my brother-in-law. I said, what an awesome experience that was to me. And she said, sit down. So I sat down, and here's, like I say, here's two black men and a Mexican. And there's no black Mexicans in some city, brother. And we're sitting there, and they began to prophesy in tongues, and they began to interpret and hear the Lord. Everything that happened to me, they began to prophesy. You just bought this red brick building, and the Lord's going to take care of you. Everything, folks. It says, and the pastor that just left you, the Lord says, don't worry about it. And the Lord says he's going to take care of your finances. Don't you be concerned about finances. The Lord will see you through. You be faithful to what you're doing. The Lord has called you. What an awesome thing. And then when I tell them, I said, you got to come because they're not going to believe what's happening to me. And they said, we can't. We got to leave. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Where are you guys from? You know, you talk about the two that came to Abraham, you know. I said, whoa, where are you guys from, man? He said, we're from Los Angeles. I said, what are you guys doing here? He said, the Lord woke me up very early this morning and told me to come here and wait for you and give you the word. You talk about a visitation. And here, a Church of God in Christ, black man. And they prophesied the word. I said, you got to come to my church. They said, no, we'll be back. We got to leave. I went to the church and I had a little, my pulpit was in about this high, huh? And I went and laid and God, I cried and cried and cried for about an hour. I went home and I walked into my house and my wife said, Jack, you've been in the presence of God. What happened? I said, let me share it with you. And they came and they prophesied to the people the things that God was going to do. He says, the Lord will give you the city. That's what people say. I say, oh, you boasted? I tell my people, I will be mayor of the city. The brother asks them, how are you going to run the church in the city? Just like Joseph took charge. Come on, somebody. One of the things that happened is that later came and they prophesied to them, the people of God. When God has put us together, brother, he's become my mentor, my...
We met one of them.
Yes. It was so amazing. About a month or three months ago, I was sitting in my big chair at home and I was weeping. I'm crying out to God, right now I'm tired. And I know you called me and I need your strength right now. And I'm sitting there just weeping, you know, just quietly talking to God. My wife's in the kitchen. The phone rang. My wife answered the phone. Says, it's Brother Clark from Los Angeles, this black brother. And he said, I just told my wife to get me your phone number immediately. I said, because the Lord showed me that you're sitting in a big chair in your living room crying to him, and this is the answer.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. Magnify Jesus. And God will do it again and again and again. When I needed the money, when they wanted me out of the building, I bought a building at $550,000. No money, just my signature. Haven't missed a payment on the building. They wanted me out, and I said, God, and I'm not going to leave this place. And then all of a sudden, that I went and did warfare that night in the church. It says, you're not going to kick me out. This is my PPAC. This is my lentil fat. I'm Shama. I'm going to be Shama, Lord. Oh, somebody worship him. Hallelujah. I guess I could have said this is my bean patch. And nobody's going to kick me from here. I said, Lord, you gave me this. That was an all-night thing. And Sunday, on Saturday, I had gone and seen a man. I said, find me some money to buy this building again and negotiate. I was preaching, then the church was so small, you know, like it was. And I was preaching and the phone rang. And I heard it, and my assistant pastor then had gone over and picked it up and said, do you have faith? I says, more faith than money. He says, a lady just called and she wants to lend you $200,000 if she can have first deed of trust. I says, tell her yes. So in the evening, I told the people, I says, we have $200,000 already towards the building to repurchase, renegotiate. And it's amazing, on Monday I called the owner and I said, I need to meet with you. I got to talk to you. So I went and saw him. I said, will you take $250,000? I've got him down. The building was then appraised at $600,000. I got him to $550,000 when I got it. And then I told him I'd get a new appraisal. I already knew the property had devalued. And I told him, I says, would you take $250,000 and a write-off? He says, I will. I said, fine. I said, I'll get it. So I drove, and I already knew I had the Sunday already had the 200, but I needed 50,000, and I'm driving up on Grant like the brother was giving directions yesterday on 60, and I'm saying, God, where am I going to get $50,000? And the Lord said, go and look for this lady in such an address. I said, okay, whatever you ask. I turned my car around and went and looked for her, and I knocked at the door, and I said, this is a business call. I said, I need $50,000 to purchase. She looked at me and said, you are a sick man. That's what she said. You're a sick man. She says, you are crazy. You think I'm going to give you $50,000. I said, look, I don't even know if you have money. God told me to come and see you. And she says, I have money. I said, but I have it invested and I get 24% interest on my return. I said, if you lend me the money, I will give you 24%. Lend it to me. He says, you'll do that? I said, yeah. So I'll have it to you in 2 weeks. I said, fine. So I went home. I went to the church. I drove to the church. I told my wife, I said, I've got the 250. Praise God. So I hadn't sat there more than 5 minutes when the phone rang. It was the owner. He said, I just talked to my CPA and my realtor, and we need 275. So, God. I told my wife, I said, he wants another 25,000. My wife says, what are you going to do? I says, Carol, I already have 250. You don't think God's got 25 somewhere? I said, God will do it. She said, okay. So the phone rang again. It was the owner again. He wanted, he said, we need 284. I said, oh, Lord. I said, listen, stop there. I ain't going to deal with you. I said, you can have your building back. So I'll stop there again. You see, the man had been delivered. The Lord delivered him of a demon. I cast it out of him, a dishonor. And the anointing of God was so powerful. I told my wife, I said, now I need another 14,000 more. I need 284. And my wife said the same thing. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to watch God do a miracle. Watch with me? My wife says, okay. And it's so amazing because the next day, the lady called me that was going to lend me the 50,000. She was boo-hooing like she wouldn't believe. She says, Pastor, I got news for you. So I'm not going to lend you the money. I said, well, just do what God told you to do. She says, the Lord told me to give you 50,000. I said, well, do it. Well, okay. She said, okay. So she gave me 50,000. I'll have it there in 2 weeks. So I went to the, in 2 weeks, I went to the owner again, and he called me and says, Jack, do you have the money? Do you have the other, are you going to have all the other 34,000? I says, I want to talk to you. I says, can we meet for lunch? I want to talk with you. I said, I don't want to discuss this thing over the phone. I want to talk to you. I'll buy you lunch. So we met for lunch. And when I hung up and I told him I'd meet you for lunch, he said, okay, at a certain time. So I hung up. The phone rang. I picked it up. It was a sister. She said, Pastor, the Lord just spoke to me to lend you $20,000. He said, I'll have it there in 2 hours. I said, fine. So I go talk to this man. I need $14,000 now. So he says, I'm not going to carry you. Either you get the money or you get out of the building or whatever. And I said, Mr. Holmes, look at me. How much time do I have to get the 14,000 to you? He says, I give you by tomorrow at 3. I says, look at me. And now we're in a restaurant, but I says, the Lord, he will show himself strong on our behalf. And by tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'm going to cash you out. The building belongs to the kingdom of God. It doesn't belong to you anymore. I says, I give you the word of the Lord. And I walked out and I said, God, where am I going to get $14,000? So next morning I get up at 5 in the morning and I will go to my place where I meet with God. Oh, Lord. And I go to the Lord and I said, Lord, I need $14,000. I don't know where to get it. And the Lord says, at 8 o'clock, God talked to me this way. It's 8 o'clock. You go to your office and you call this lady right at 8 o'clock and you tell her you need $14,000 and she will have it for you. Okay, Lord. At 7 o'clock, my wife got up and says, what are you doing? Can't sleep? I said, no, can't sleep. Been talking to God. I said, he told me the lady's going to lend me some money to buy the church. So you take the kids to school because at 8 o'clock, I have to go to the church. I got there about 7:45. And I'm looking at, it looked like hours. I said, oh, God. Kept looking, oh God, I have a clock like this one right there. So at 8 o'clock, I said, oh, sister, this is Pastor Jack. I says, I need $14,000 to buy the church. She says, no problem, I'll have them to you in 2 hours. It's amazing, they all said 2 hours, you know. So I'll have it to you in 2 hours. I said, fine. By 10 o'clock, she brought me $14,000. By noon, I cast him out. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? You look at me like... Somebody say, God is good. Amen. And you know what? He'll do it again and again and again. He gives us information. I can't lose. God didn't call me to be a loser. He called me to be an overcomer and to be a victor in this life. That's why I say, God, divest me of everything, of every impurity, of every carnal thing. And I'll tell you, this carnal thing is a war, a war, a war. Fighting the lust, fighting the things, fighting the people, fighting the devil. But he is more than able. So whatever you're facing today, you know, David was saying about his daughter, my son messed up too. But I took him to deliverance and repentance and I had to get him right with God. So you do things right and you get married. That's what you're going to do. I'm ready, Lord. And sometimes those things you don't expect, especially as preachers, you know. Especially when you taught them the way of the Lord. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were Christian. My mother used to call me disciple of the devil. Because I was I know you go, wow. That's how I was, a disciple of the devil. I wasn't following God. I was a whoremonger, a fighter, a brawler. But they dedicated me to the service of God. I want to tell you something. The Lord is so powerful that I want to leave you with His words today. You know, when we see the teachings of God in this word, and it's an awesome thing. God is such an awesome God. Be confident. God will put the fear and the dread of them, and the Lord is to be magnified. I wonder why I can't find my scriptures. I'm in the wrong book. But I want to just close with this teaching to you today. And I trust that you leave this place knowing who you are. And most of all, knowing who He is. I'm not a flunky. I'm a saint. Sanctified. Peculiar. Holy. Priest. Anointed. Born again. Washed in the blood. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. In Deuteronomy 2, I want to read 31 and 34. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee, began to possess it, that thou mayest inherit this land. Then Sihon came against us, he and all his people, to fight the Jahaz. Why shouldn't the victory be complete when God had already given it to him? Go, I've given you Sihon, it's already yours. Kick him out of there. And God gave them information which spelled out the advance what he was going to do concerning Sihon. He said he was going to give him into their hands. The part in this information of faith was to contend with him in battle. So you just have to go fight him and kick him out. That's what you need to do. The moment they entered the fight or the fray, as we say, God set in motion everything necessary for them to win decisively and completely. I'll tell you, what an awesome God. They couldn't lose. They had information regarding the outcome. I got information. I read the book. I don't read it as much as I should, but I got information that will carry me from here to eternity. And I believe this is what God is saying to them. When the enemy encroaches on any part of that which has been promised to you, you need to take a stand, and you must learn what your part in the battle of the blessing. Stand with me. One of the things we know about Sihon, that Sihon was no pushover. And his armies outnumbered the armies of Israel. But in verse 25, so there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered us all unto us. One thing you don't want to walk in religiosity. Are you hearing me? You want to walk in the Spirit. In chapter 3, our king of Bashan came against the battle, and he was no pushover. It says in 3:11 that he remained as a remnant of the giants. Amen. The cities were spanned on high walls and everything. Let me tell you something. You cannot peaceably coexist with your enemy. I hear her, even Moses, try to make peace with Sihon, but Sihon wouldn't give in. And sometimes we feel like, well, you know, if we just leave it alone, it'll go away. Mm-hmm. You gotta say, get out in the name of Jesus. You're not staying here. Either you kick him out or he'll walk all over you. I'm telling you. That's why Moses, he tried to get along with Sihon. You know, you read some of this leadership that was so tremendous in leadership, and they messed up, just like we do sometimes. But God still caused them to triumph. In one of the battles, and God said, I told you not to go fight him because I wasn't with you, and you still went. And they kicked your butt. Come on. Sihon will try to stop you wherever you, whatever your Sihon is, whatever your Sihon was, perversion, whether it's cancer, whatever that Sihon is, he'll try to stop you, and you're going to have to contend with him. And you're going to have to say, I'm fed up with this thing. I'll tell you, if I wouldn't contend for my body and my physical, that's what God is doing with me, I'd probably be crippled by now. He would cripple me. He would paralyze me. But he's not going to do it.
Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. We better be on to the teeth with truth. It's not enough that we just know truth. It's enough that we understand truth. It's enough that we apply truth. That's why whatever is in you, whatever has entangled your mind, God is able by the word, if you apply it, to pull it down and deliver you. I was a pervert to the teeth. I love women. Destroyed more marriages than you can count a stick. But God is able to turn us around and get us on the right track. That's why we need to find this. In this. Let me just finish with the scripture, 3:18 of Deuteronomy. And I command you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are in need for the war. You better be armed. You better have the weapons of your warfare in place. Use your weapons, God's word, and God will cause you to triumph in all areas of your life. I trust that this word has so prevailed and will prevail in you that you will stand and see the salvation of God. I believe the faith of other brothers work, but if you have the information yourself, you can make it work for you. Sometimes you just feel alone, and it's just you and God. And then you see the salvation of God. The word salvation contains a lot of healing, a blessing, deliverance, everything that torments you. And a lot of times if we don't magnify the Lord bigger than the problems, we make the devil bigger than God. And he's not going to take second place in my life. I trust he won't take second place in yours. Say it with me. The Lord will be magnified. In the name of Jesus, I take authority and dominion. I am armed with the weapons for warfare. I have the word, of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, and I will prevail against every demonic thing that comes against me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Everything that arises against me, I can condemn. The anointing will break every yoke of bondage. I will serve the Lord in purity. In the name of Jesus, I will divest myself of those things that hinder me. The anointing will break every yoke of bondage. The word will prevail in me. I will get rid of everything that hinders me, from habits to addiction to perversion. I will cast sickness from me. I will war against the enemy. I will command him to leave. And I will resist him. I have information according to the book of James. But if I resist the devil, he will flee from me. In the name of Jesus, I resist him today. And you have to go. Because you're not going to destroy me, nor my family. In the name of Jesus, all my family are going to serve the Lord. Now bless you, Father, today, because you're giving us power and authority and dominion. I have information that everything that I bind here is bound in heaven. That everything that I loose here is loosed in heaven. I have information that causes me to stand according to the word of God, more than a conqueror, overcomer in this life. He who dwells within me is greater than he that dwells without. I am full of the Holy Ghost, and I will walk as one full of the Holy Ghost. I will walk in power and authority. I have dominion. No weapon formed against me will prosper, and I will take authority. In the name of Jesus, I stand today in the presence of God, and Lord, I give you permission to purify me with your fire. Come, Holy Spirit, and burn. Burn within me. Burn within me. Purify me. My mind, my body, my spirit. I set me free to be a vessel of honor in the house of worship. Hallelujah! Amen. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Amen. Contend with the enemy. Take the
the land that God has given you. Those promises you have. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm taking the city. Amen. It sounds boastful, but I'm boasting in God.
Amen.
I'm taking the city. I'm telling you, I'm taking the city. Amen. You know, I took one of the Tibetan Foundation, the crystal worshipers, prayed them out, went and challenged them, said, you won't stay here. The people came again and said, you won't stay here. You're going to leave in a casket or somehow, but you will not stay in war in the city with me. And they died. None of them never came back into the city, died in India. I'm telling you true.
Mm-hmm.
Now the devil sent another psychic. I already called him and said, Madam Power, you will not stay in the city with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he calls her. What's your name? Says Madam Power. Says, Madam Power, you're not going to stay in the city with me. You will leave the city.
Yes.
I talked to the mayor. I said, what's that spirit doing here? So that we can kick it out. So I'll kick it out. I'll kick it out. I said, it will not stay in the city with me. Amen. It won't stay, brother. Amen. God is an awesome God.
Amen.
We walk like by every place. Oh, there's a psyche. Come. You're to curse it.
Amen.
You're to pull it down. Father, I pull that psychic spirit. I kick it out of my town, out of my street.
Yeah.
Amen. Go knock on the door. I like to go into the psychic spirit and say, I want to tell you that you're a lying spirit. And you're in the city lying to these people you have in here. You won't stay here. Tell us then. I make the drunks at the bar praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering.
Marama Sanda Rama Sanda Da 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 Da.
I want you and Doc and David to pray for him and I for the camp draw.
Amen. Stretch your hands out here. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we stand in the gap. Father, we war against every hindrance, spirit, every torment in the physical, in the spiritual. And Father, I command this weariness, and I command, Father, the spirits to come to torment, Lord, to come against the mind. I command you to loosen right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and I release the power and the anointing of God. Father, I release power, physical strength to this body. In the name of Jesus, to their mind. In the name of Jesus, I release you. I release you. I release you from the bondages that have come upon you, even in this day. And I command them to go. I break chains that have come to bind you. I loosen your mind right now. I loosen your mind right now in the name of Jesus. Be broken. I loosen it right now. I command you, spirit that comes to confuse you, spirit of confusion. I command you to loosen her right now in the name of Jesus. I loosen, anointing, the blessing of the Lord, the mind of God. Father, she's a vessel. She or not? She to be healed, Lord? She's a daughter of Abraham. Covenant woman. Covenant woman. And Father, I've set him free right now to be worshipers in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Maramasanda,
Ramasanda. And the Lord would say unto thee, my son and my daughter, you have done a wonderful work, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, and you've been faithful to those things that I've called you unto. Yea, and you've put your hand to the plow. Yea, and you've not looked back. And you've went forth and you've plowed and you've plowed and you've plowed. Yea, and you've strengthened the saints of God. And you've brought in those to strengthen the saints of God, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, and I am pleased with you. But now has come the time for rest for you, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, and there shall be a period and a season of rest for you. Yea, and I shall bring in those, and I shall bring in two. There's two couples, saith the Lord thy God, that I shall bring in to help thee. Yea, and one shall be timid and one shall be bold. Yea, but the timid shall rule, saith the Lord thy God. But it shall be time for you to rest, and this is a period of rest for you. Yea, and you shall seek me. Yea, and I shall give you fresh anointing. Yea, and I shall strengthen you, and I shall give you fresh words, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, and I shall send you forth among the nations to strengthen my people. After this period of rest, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, for it's a rest that you need. Yea, it's a rest that you need, but the anointing will be there to bring you through in this time of rest. Yea, and fear not and fret not about what shall happen here or what shall happen there, saith the Lord the God. For truly, I shall take care of it. Yea, and I shall handle it. Yea, and there shall be changes. But yea, know that it is I, the Lord thy God, that shall bring about the changes. I shall bring the changes. Yea, for this is a season and a time and a period of rest for you, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah.
You believe in pulling down strongholds, don't you? You believe it's strong? You believe in strongholds that you can pull them down? Okay, I want you to pull this. Turn you to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoner of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you. Before you start, I just opened my Bible and there it was. You want to read it? It's Zechariah 9. Well, all of this is good. All of that's good.
You know, it's amazing. I've been telling the Lord, I believe you for everything. Now I'm going to believe you for the finances, that I may get the people in place, that we might accomplish everything you've given us to do. I said, now you give me the spirit of prosperity in this area, and you begin to bring the finances to me and give me wisdom to use it. That's confirmation.
The Lord showed me that we were scriptures. Before you started this morning, I just opened the Bible myself. You got it? You see it?
Oh, I love it. I got information.
Hallelujah. Brother Jack Hilton only, the Spirit of God said, truly he has raised you up as the man of the city, and truly he's going to raise you up, yes, and truly all strongholds shall fall down, yeah, and truly the glory of the Lord shall be in it from the one end of the city to the other, from the north to the south, to the east to the west, yea, the glory of the Lord shall be there, yea, and those that shall come into the city, yea, that shall seek you out, saith the Lord thy God, and they shall come to you, and they shall come and study, and they shall learn, and they shall find, truly this is a man of God, for truly I have raised you up for this hour and for this day, saith the Lord thy God, and truly the stronghold shall fall, not only in your city, but those around about. And the Lord said he'll bring in those able-bodied ministers to help you, and he says that he'll bring in those even to train up, to send out, to pull down other strongholds in this day, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Lord Jesus, truly we have come to this place, Lord, and we have been refreshed in our spirit, man. Lord, and we have heard the word and we received the information from your vessels this weekend. Lord, we thank you for your presence here, and we thank you that we came in one way, but we're going out another. Lord, as you've empowered us and give us that power to go forth, that we should be bold vessels of yours. Lord, let us be that in the days ahead. Lord, as we received your word last night, Lord, as you spoke through your vessel, Lord God, and you gave us the word, Lord, that we would hear your word, we would believe your word, and we would walk in that word, for it is a sure word. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless the rest of this day, Father God, and as we walk and wherever we would go, that you would order our steps aright in you. Order our steps aright in you. Lord, open our mouth to say the things that we need to say to those that are round about us, Lord. And Lord, if there's nothing to say, to close our mouths. Lord, we just ask this in your name. Bless the food that we're about to receive, Lord. Bless those who have prepared it, Father God. Bless this campground here, Lord. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's why we need to find this. And let me just finish with the scripture, 3:18 of Deuteronomy. And I command you at that time, saying, the Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are in need for the war. You better be armed. You better have the weapons of your warfare in place. Use your weapons in God's word. And God will cause you to triumph in all areas of your life. I trust that this word has so prevailed and will prevail in you, that you will stand and see the salvation of God. I believe the faith of other brothers work, but if you have the information yourself, you can make it work for you. Sometimes you just feel alone, and it's just you and God. And then you see the salvation of God. That word salvation contains a lot of healing, a blessing, deliverance, everything that torments you. And a lot of times, if we don't magnify the Lord bigger than our problems, we make the devil bigger than God. And he's not going to take second place in my life. I trust he won't take second place in yours.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.